following is a presentation of Refuge Calvary Chapel Huntington Beach. For more information about our ministry, please visit refugefamily.com.
All right. Hey, good morning, y'all. Good morning. Hi, you guys. Welcome. Glad you're here at Refuge. Happy New Year. Woo! Moving on to 2021. Yeah. This weekend, we're doing something a little bit different. We still will be preaching the Word of God. However, we're going to use some people to do that. This message this weekend and all throughout this weekend is called Lessons We Learned in 2020. Lessons We Learned in 2020. Did you all learn some lessons in 2020? Raise your hand if you learned some lessons in 2020, right? Probably, here's my guess, lessons about yourself, right? Lessons about the people who are around you, kind of maybe things you didn't see before, now that you see. I would just say we could do a whole service on this too. Lessons we learned as the church. Things about the church, the important parts of the church. Somebody last week, last service said, I asked them, and I'm going to ask you to do the same thing. Think about lessons you learned in 2020 and assign one word to it. Think about a lesson that you learned in 2020 and assign one word to that. I'm going to have you shout it out here in a second. But somebody last service said essential. And I thought that was so good because we always kind of think about church as important. We know scripturally it's important for us. It's good for us and actually called on us to gather together, even though in some cases right now, some people haven't been able to do that yet. But the word essential ascribed to the church, I really like that in 2020, that we're actually calling what we're doing here today, whether in person or online, is that this is important. And it's more than important. We call it essential. You know, we look at food is important, but food is actually essential. And the same thing is true, I would believe, of the church today. This gathering together of the saints is essential. And so I think that was a great word from last service in 2020. So what I want you to do is think of what you learned, a lesson you learned in 2020, and I want you to ascribe one word to that. And while you're thinking of that, I thought I'd bring out some things that, as I looked at 2020, they will forever be attached on to 2020 for me. The first one that I kind of just, as I think about 2020, I think of hand sanitizer, right? I mean, my wife makes fun of me, but every store I go into, it's almost like just habit now. I go to, I mean, if it's free and they're offering it, I'm going to put it on my hands, right? It's like, I've got to do it. So I've got it in my car. We've got it at our house. We've got it here in the offices. We've got it actually here just among you all. There's hand sanitizer everywhere. So I'll always think of that. Masks will forever be, for me, ascribed to 2020. Positive or negative, whatever your views on them, you'll see them and you'll think, oh, that's 2020, right? That is so 2020. They existed long before, but they were always in doctor's offices, but now they're everywhere, right? And so, again, whatever your feelings are, but they will always be attached to me in 2020. I got one more. This will always be reminding me of 2020, right? Early 2020, where you couldn't find it anywhere, even if you needed it, it was gone. And it just reminds us, man, we're living on a thin line, right? We really need this. And we couldn't find it. But unless you got up super early in the morning and you waited outside to get it at Costco or wherever you could find it, that will always be 2020 to me. What word for you is indicative or something, a lesson you learned in 2020? And keep it clean, please. What? Zoom. Yes, we've had that in every service, right? We kind of knew what Zoom was before, but it's like, oh, we know what it is now, right? Zoom for sure. What else? Takeout, right? Takeout and delivery, right? Or Postmates or whatever now. It's like, wow, what a business to be in. What else?
Devotional.
Yeah. When everything was going crazy and still is at times, it's like, Lord, I just need to hear you. I need to come back to you. Yeah, absolutely. What else?
Patience.
Patience with everything, right? With everything.
Gratitude.
Yes. That's perfect. So gratitude and things that we've taken for granted, but we just need to be grateful for some of those things. What else?
Selflessness.
It's essential right now.
6 feet.
6 feet. Mike, that's two words. That's two. But you put that little line in between. 6 feet. All right. Thankful. Yeah. Trust. Thankful and trust. Faith. Absolutely. Faith. God, where else would we go? Hope. God, where else would we? Yeah, we need to have hope. What else?
Endurance.
That's a great word. Endurance. And I think Pastor Bill's been mentioning this, but we've been talking about, 2020's over. Yay, right? But we had 2021 and we're carrying some of those same problems and issues. And I think that's a great word. It's like we need to continue to endure and be strong in the Lord in this season. What else? Battle? Yeah, a lot of battles. Yeah. Battle, endurance, family. What else? Fear. Yeah, in fact, one of our voices this morning is going to talk about that. Fear is a big one.
I don't know.
Oh, okay. Caring. Yeah. Karen. Oh, that's Karen. So Karen. What else? There's some words that we really gained in 2020, right? Trust. Absolutely. Well, this morning, what we're going to do is one of the things that we are so blessed with here at Refuge is there are a lot of strong voices for the Lord. And as I look back over 2020, we have such a great staff of people here at Refuge. And in those offices on a weekday basis, but also those that are speaking to our kids, our children's ministry, our high school, our college, our young adults, all the way to the main services, we have been blessed with great voices here at Refuge. And I want you to see that this morning. I'm going to invite Pastor Chase to come up wherever he may be. Actually, sorry. Yeah, just come on. We'll go Bethany second. And here's the thing. We had a line going here and I broke that. But that's okay. Here's one of the most incredible things that God did in this 2020, as I think he taught us some lessons that would be important for us to remember and to be reminded of. There are times I remember in school, when if I was going to get a good grade in a class, I would have to be in class to take notes. I would have to read the material. I'd have to make flashcards to get ready for the test. And if there was a study group, Jeff had to be in that study group. I needed to be reminded to reinforce the information. And I think it's important for us in 2020 that we just don't run through it, that we actually take a look back and gain some understanding and reinforce the material that God was teaching us. Because there are tests that are coming up, right? So Chase is here as one of the voices of Refuge, strong voices of Refuge, to give us one of those lessons.
Thanks, Jeff. Can you guys hear me back there? Yeah, cool. All right, well, if I were to summarize, you know, one of the biggest things that God taught me in this season, it would be that he remains in control even when I am not. And so to kind of kick off the time, I'm going to actually bring out my item that represents 2020 to me. Here it is right here. It is a can of garbanzo beans. Now, you guys might be wondering, why am I bringing out a can of garbanzo beans? And I remember back to the beginning of COVID when everything was kind of, I guess, pronounce a pandemic. You know, I remember being in the office and being like, all right, like, I got to get to the grocery store. Like, this is about to go down. The lockdowns are about to hit. So I went to the grocery store. I went to the Walmart neighborhood market, which was right next to my house. And I remember going into the store and everyone was just like in a panic mode where, you know, everyone was just focused in, you know, both hands on the steering wheels and going into the aisles and seeing the aisles, like, just shelves cleared. Like, there's nothing on the shelves, no waters, no chips, like nothing was on the shelves except for cans of garbanzo beans. And so those garbanzo beans, I'm thinking, okay, like, I got a bride, I got two little boys, we're gonna survive this thing. So I thought about, what are the ways that we can, you know, just make these garbanzo beans work? Salt one night, you know, pepper one night, we could do, you know, maybe some chili another night or whatever and stuff too. But, you know, I think it was one of those moments where internally, I started to get a little bit freaked out of thinking, okay, you know, what's ahead right here? You know, things just kind of are not the same as they once were, where before, you know, you felt like you had this sense of security in the way that things worked, or consistency in the way that things were. And, you know, I wish I could say that was probably the only time in this last year that, you know, there is maybe just kind of that freak out moment. But unfortunately, you know, I think there was things over and over that reminded me that, you know, things are not the same as they once were. Mm-hmm. And maybe you guys have been there as well, but, you know, for me, that actually brought out feelings of fear at times. It brought out feelings of uncertainty of, you know, what's going to happen next. It brought out even moments of thinking, okay, man, all right, how are we going to make this work for my family? What do we have to do? And just kind of just thinking through these different areas. And you know what, for me, naturally, I am a person that loves consistency. I love rhythms. I love waking up at a certain time, going to sleep at a certain time, reading my Bible at a certain time. And I think consistency actually, in a lot of ways, helps us to function well. But here's the danger when we have things that are consistent or things that are, you know, secure. It is, I think we can often look to those things to be our sources of security. Right, we can often look at other things to be our sources of strength or hope, or you know, where we find peace and you know, I think this year has revealed that those are not safe places to put those things in. Rather, the remedy is realizing that God is in control and He remains on the throne. Isaiah 55 tells us that God's ways are not our ways. His ways are so much higher. His thoughts are so much greater than ours. Right? You know, Colossians chapter 3 tells us that Jesus currently is seated at the right hand of the throne of God, right? He's seated at the right hand of the Father. It tells us inside Matthew 28 that after Jesus rose from the dead, He said, all authority has been given to me both in heaven and in earth, right? And so, you know, I think just as I've gone through this year, I've seen this just be true, even in the midst of just all the challenges, because there really are challenges. We've all gone through different things in this year to differing degrees and hardships and things that we've had to go through. And I think about even just the last couple of weeks, there's things that have happened within my family, right, that are just challenging. And yet, at the same time, I've seen God at work, right? I've seen God bringing people that were spiritually dead to life. I've seen God bring people who were just kind of slumbering spiritually in some sense, kind of coming alive, where they're like, man, I really want to walk this out for the first time. You know, I've seen other people who have even got saved in this season, right? I've seen people whose hearts were just being shaped and being more like Jesus. And, you know, and as I kind of reflected on this, I thought this is not a new way that God works in that, right? Where actually, if you look in Scripture, in the Old Testament, a great example of that would be Joseph, right? Challenge after challenge after challenge, as you read through his story, you see, and he goes through some hardships, and yet God was still behind the scenes working in him, working through him, right? Where he ultimately brings him to this place where he's second in command, where he's basically used as a deliverer of his people, and God uses him in that way. In the book of Acts, we see it in the New Testament, where God does the kind of the same thing with Paul, where Paul goes through hardship after hardship, and yet people are getting saved. He's able to preach the gospel before kings and before rulers, and he's spreading the gospel in such a powerful way. But he was open in the midst of the different challenges he was going through. And so you guys might be thinking, okay, well, if God's in control, then why are things not normal yet? And I wish I could say that I could tell you, but I don't know. I do know, though, that we can trust him in the midst of it, though. And I do know that, you know, from what we see in the case of these two that I just mentioned, is that I think God is often more concerned with our character than he is our comfort, right? Sometimes we love comfort, and there's nothing wrong with having comfort, but man, God desires to conform you more into his son's image, right? Philippians chapter 1 tells us that he who started this work in you is faithful to complete that work. Part of his desire is to make you more like his son Jesus. And so, again, in whatever season we are going through, one of the things that I've reflected on is God is able to work in his people, and he's able to work through his people. Another possibility that I think why things have not yet gone back to normal is, you know, God's ways are just so much greater than our ways. His thoughts are so much higher than our thoughts. And, you know, when we reflect this kind of this idea in our own lives, we could think about, okay, man, there's so many time frames where maybe we prayed for something or we hoped for something and it did not go the way that we had hoped. And yet we can look back in retrospect and think, that is actually a really good thing that it did not turn out the way that I hoped, right? And actually scripturally, we can back that up where, man, because of God being infinite in his wisdom and his goodness and his justice and his mercy and his kindness and his grace and his love and all these different things, that can actually be a really good thing when things don't always go our way because he's looking out for you. He loves you. And you, if you've trusted Jesus, you're his kid and he's going to take care of you. So whatever is going on in this season, one of the things that has brought so much peace in my own soul is just trusting the fact that, God, you remain in control and you are good. Mm-hmm. God, you remain on the throne and I can rest in those things.
Thanks, Chase. Yeah. Thank you, Chase. I'm telling you, plethora of riches here at Refuge with voices that speak into our staff on a regular basis that God uses to speak to all of our different age groups. One of those people is my wife, Bethany. She's going to come up right now. And one of the things that happened in 2020, if you remember this, is really early on in March, we started this thing called Fireside Chat. And it was a weekly message, just a word of encouragement and to let you know what's going on at Refuge. And so we started that in right around March. And about halfway through the year, we said, you know, we need to keep doing this. But we won't do the Fireside Chat anymore. We're going to call it Refuge Daily. So it's called Refuge Daily. And we're still doing it to this day. In fact, we're going to carry it on in through 2021. And we're excited about that. We're going to talk about some new topics and things like that. But one of the things we started too was Wilson Wednesdays. That's my last name. That's her last name. So we started Wilson Wednesdays. And so we've invited our kids, our dog, we've had guest speakers. We've had people from the staff. We just do a lot of different things with Wilson Wednesdays. But my co-host on Wilson Wednesdays and one of the voices of women's ministry and my wife, Bethany Wilson.
So, thanks. So the item that screams 2020 to me is a can of Lysol. Because when it all first came out and, you know, we were wiping down every grocery that came into the house and we were spraying down all of our mail and then our mail had to sit in the garage for a time. It was just like, oh my gosh.
It was my fault. It was my fault.
No. Well, we were all learning. But so the smell of Lysol will forever remind me of COVID-19. At Christmas time, I asked for a specific paper planner. I like to use a paper planner because I found one after years of using different planners. I found one that just has everything I need. It has a spot for putting the schedule and meal plans and to-do lists and things like that. So I get energized from planning and organizing. At the beginning of 2020, I got a year-at-a-glance calendar that I stuck on the wall so that I could see where we were overcommitted and see where there's maybe like pockets of time that we could do a little family vacation, something like that. So that calendar now has the word quarantine written in March with a line that goes from March to December. So it looks nothing like I thought it was going to look like. And nearly every day since March has looked completely different by the end of the day, as you've all experienced as well, than what I had already written in my planner. I had to rearrange my schedule when the kids came home to do school virtually. And rearrange again when they went to school part-time. We have one in high school, middle, and elementary, all at different schools. They were never all in school at the same time. It was different days and different times. And now readjusting again as they come home virtually for school. I had to readjust my meal plan when I got to the refrigerator case at the store and there were no eggs and no butter. I was doing fine with everything. I was like, we can get through this. We can make this. But my breaking point was butter. There was no butter. And I started to get heart palpitations. I started to get teary-eyed. And I'm like, is my breaking point butter? I had to text my husband. I'm like, what's going on? I think I'm having a panic attack over butter. But I had to adjust. So in 2020, we all experienced Proverbs 16:9 in a very real way that a man's heart plans his way, but the Lord directs his steps. So I had to choose, and I still choose daily, to look to the Lord and just say, what does today look like? Lord, what do you have for me today? And choose to even laugh at how different it's going to turn out, because things are going to be canceled, or they're going to be started up or moved, or everything's going to be changed. Because we know, trusting in the Lord, as Chase just said in Isaiah 55, knowing that his thoughts are so much higher than our thoughts. Mm-hmm. He is the one who sees the beginning from the end. And so for me to rest in him, I had a choice to make in 2020. I could choose to graciously accept the changes that were not a surprise to the Lord, accept those changes, go with the flow, say, Lord, this is what you have for me today. Or I could kick and I could scream and I could pout. And we teach our kids, it's totally okay to be disappointed. It's okay to be sad. It's okay to be frustrated and upset. You know, you don't get to go to the birthday to the movies with your friends for your birthday. You don't get to have an eighth grade graduation. You don't get to, you know, there are a lot of disappointing things this year, but it's so much more peaceful and restful when we choose not to kick and scream and pout, when we choose to know that when we trust in the Lord with all of our heart, lean not on our own understanding, acknowledge him in all of our ways, that he will direct our path. And then we know that we're right where we're supposed to be. So that was what 2020 taught me.
Thanks, hon. Here comes another voice of refuge, Pastor Bill Welsh. And as he makes his way up here to share his lesson from 2020, I will just tell you, again, back to the idea that this has been a year that's been unlike any other year. But thankful for Bill's leadership and his calling on the Lord to lead us through the word and decisions that have to be made. So Bill Welsh.
Thank you, Jeff. I want to say at the beginning, so it doesn't sound like I'm just rushing it, to say it at the end, that one of the things in 2020 that I am most excited about is watching Jeff grow as a teacher, as a pastor, as a co-pastor here. And it has been a real thrill, Jeff, to work with you and to prove that we can do this together, even if we're family. And we don't always agree on everything.
It's true.
He doesn't have to agree with me. He can be wrong.
Occasionally. No.
But the item for me is my walking sticks. I started the year getting ready for a hiking tour to Israel. I don't know if anybody that was on that tour is here today, but it was a truncated tour. We didn't get to go everywhere we wanted to go. We were the next to the last commercial flight coming into Israel. And many, many people were wanting us to turn around and get back on the next plane and go home. Not people on the tour, but we were the very last commercial flight getting out of there. And so things just got rearranged for us. COVID was beginning to seize the whole world at that time, though. And I rarely miss a photo. If I see something, it grabs my attention, I always take a picture of it. But I didn't have my phone on me. We were in Migdal, which is up in Galilee. And we were at the end of a day of hiking, long hike that day, trying to find a place to have dinner. And we ended up going into a market. And the picture that I missed that day was a guy coming out of the market with a shopping cart overloaded with what? Toilet paper. But the part of the picture that I wish I would have gotten this, he had a pit bulldog on a leash. So you might get my Toyota, you're not getting my toilet paper, seemed to be the message. But another item, especially for refuge in 2020, I would say is pie plates. And we never got the pie that went with the pie plates, but we got the pie. But the reason for the hiking sticks is that God made it very, very clear to me, I just want you to keep walking. I want you to keep walking with me. There's a number of things in Scripture that it tells us to walk in light. We've been studying that in 1 John. Walk in light, walk in truth, walk in the Spirit, walk in love, walk in humility, walk blamelessly. And one of the things that changed in my life this year was in July. And when I had that heart episode early in July, right after our youngest daughter got married, it might have had something to do with it, but it was a week after that that God reminded me, I want you to walk with me. And I knew what he meant. Take your Bible, get back into the rhythm of just walking in the morning with me with the Word. And so I've been doing that since then, with a couple of interruptions there. But in Psalm 1, and so what I do, I've told you this before, I'll make this very brief. I went over time last time. But what I do on the first day of every month, I read the first five Psalms in the book of Psalms, and then 6 through 10 the next day and on through. But you know what it says in the very first Psalm of the 150 there in the book of Psalms? Number one says this: blessed is the man who walks. And says where he doesn't walk, to begin with. He doesn't walk in the counsel of the ungodly, or stand in the path of sinners, or sit in the seat of the scornful. But his delight, where he wants to walk, is in the law of the Lord. And on his law he meditates day and night, and he'll be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. And so God just calling me to walk with him and to get back into that rhythm has been a really, really sweet reset in my life. And I thought about these sticks, and Joy was listening to the first service today. She said, I like what you said about, you know, using the sticks as an assist. I never did that before, but the last couple of years when I was hiking, and it just makes all the difference in the world. I didn't want to have my phone anywhere but in my hand where I was taking pictures, and so the sticks got in the way. But boy, the assist that the sticks gave me was huge. And I look at these kind of as metaphors of walking in the Word and walking with the Spirit, and the power and the assist that the Holy Spirit gives you as you're walking with Him. And then when I hit this weird thing with my Achilles and the pain that's been kind of moving around that foot, it's on the way out, thank God, I realized I had to use a different kind of stick. And the sticks turned into the crutches for a couple of weeks, and now they're on the way out, thank God. But I found that I needed to lean, and I have to continue to lean on the Lord. I have to continue to lean on His Spirit and His wisdom. And I have this crazy competitive spirit in me that hurts me. How many of you know what I'm talking about? And it'll hurt you. Trust me, it'll hurt you. And I was on the double crutches for a while, for about a week, and I thought, I'm going to just go out and take a walk. And so I kept the right foot up, but I had to go make a route through my office, over to the vitamin shop, across the street to Bellaterra, four or five different stops over there I had to make. I'm thinking, how am I going to do this? I can't carry all this stuff, but I carried my backpack. So when I'm crossing the street, there were other people crossing. I thought, I'm going to go faster than them. I'm going to go faster on my crutches. And I almost face planted right in the middle of Edinger. It was just dumb. It was just dumb. But I found on the walk, here was the thing that I want to leave you with. There were people in my path that God planted in my path. And what have I said to you over and over again through the years? Stop for the person that's in the middle of your road. Stop for the person that's in the middle of your road. And I'm determined that this year to remember, it's one of the things that COVID has really accentuated for me, is that people matter. Not just the masses of people. Every pastor loves to see people fill up the seats, whether inside or outside. But Jesus was intent on getting his people out of the seats and into the streets. I want that to ring in your head, that the individual matters. I'm not going to read it like I did last service, but I picked up this book off my shelf last night. It's about Dr. Schweitzer, Albert Schweitzer, who established he could have done anything he wanted to do. Brilliant man, a genius. But he established a hospital in, I think it's pronounced Lamborghini in Gabon, on the west coast of Africa. And he went out and just poured his life into people that would never be able to give him anything back. And it was individual after individual. The book is written by Norm Cousins, and he went there with three agendas. He told Dr. Schweitzer, would you please finish volume 3 of that series you're working on? The world's waiting to hear it. He said, well, I'm working on that, and I'll wait till it's finished. What next question? Next thing he said is, would you please let us take pictures? I love the fact that this happens almost every time because it's going to relate. Sorry. But the second thing he said is, we know you're working on all kinds of things all the time. You're writing and writing and writing. But those, we don't want your thoughts to be lost. Would you allow us while we're here to take photographic images of everything you've written, just so those are preserved? And he said, I'll get back to you on that tomorrow. Was there one more thing? And they said, yes. You're so respected in the world. This was after Second World War. and the world was escalating towards nuclear war. And he said, we believe that there's no one that's more respected than you in the world. Would you please make a statement about world peace and call the world to come to terms of peace together, something like that. And just at that time, as he could see, Schweitzer was thinking over this, one of the doctors, a woman doctor there, came bursting into their room, said, doctor, we need you right now. So sorry to interrupt, but there's a woman who's come in and she has an extrauterine pregnancy, a tubal pregnancy, and we need to operate right away, but she's not strong enough to operate. We really, really need you. Can you come? And Dr. Schweitzer stood up and he said to this woman, he said, no need to apologize, doctor. I think it's important from time to time to remember that in a world that's grappling with these big issues, that the individuals have problems too. And I want to remember that all this year, that it's not just about the congregation, it's about the congregant, it's about the person that's in the middle of our road. So let's keep loving the people and take the assist that you need to keep walking, but keep walking. Let's walk it out. Amen.
Amen. Pastor Allen, one of the key voices here at Refuge and has been for 22 years here at Refuge. And I think of two people that you would want in your corner as you face a pandemic as a church. You have Alan and you have Bill, and they've been awesome for our congregation for 20 plus years, but also for this year, just very poignantly for this year to guide and lead. So we're one of the voices.
Gracious words. Thank you. For me, here's the visual, which you could probably not see unless you're in the front row. It's a piece of string on my finger, which I typically don't wear, so don't worry. It's an old school pre-smartphone method of remembering things. It's a Wonderful Life and certainly predates that. But it was in reading Psalm 42, which I'm going to read a verse to you in a moment from. Psalm 42, but it was reading this verse in Psalms earlier on in the pandemic, in the first few months, that reminded me, and thus the string, how very similar our physical and spiritual lives are in the physical realm and the spiritual realm. And so in the physical realm, we know that a balanced diet is important, right? Whether we follow that or not is another story for another time. But we just know that, right? Our body will even tell us. Your body tells you, man, you need some protein, right? You've just been eating just carbs. And your body will tell you. You can just kind of tell, right? Or times when you need carbs, you can just tell. Your body seems to tell you. And you need that. You need the greens. You need the carbs. You need the proteins. And if you don't, you'll eventually feel the effects, right? It'll affect your body. And it'll even affect your demeanor. It'll affect your attitude. But you really notice it in times of like a crisis, right? When there's extra exertion. And again, I'm still at this point talking about the physical realm, but both work. So if you don't have a balanced diet over a matter of days and weeks, and then you have a time of real exertion, whatever that may be, it's different for all of us. Maybe it's, if for me, if I have grandkids, I have grandsons, 2 6-year-old twins, and a 10-year-old and a 17-year-old, but with the three younger ones, if I spend 6-7 hours with them, and it's nonstop, I mean, they just go and they go and they go and they go. They want to play soccer, let's play baseball, let's play basketball, let's play soccer. It just over, it just repeats. And by the end of it, man, if I haven't eaten right, I'm worn out. Man, I can feel it. It affects me. It affects my demeanor. My wife may say, hey, are you all right? Yeah, I'm fine. I'm just drained. And so it's the impact of that affected me. And in the spiritual realm, it's very similar as well. When there's a crisis like COVID, and the encompassing impacts of how that relates economically and all that we know that it does, if my spiritual diet is not balanced, it's going to show. It's going to affect my demeanor. It really is. It's going to affect me internally. I could maybe appear downcast, which the psalmist talks about being disturbed and downcast, inner turmoil. Let me read to you just from verse 5, Psalm 42. Why, my soul, are you downcast? Why so disturbed within me? And here's the remedy. Put your hope in God. Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, I'll yet praise him, my Savior and my God. My soul is downcast within me, therefore I will remember you. And so in reading this, Lord, this is like in the physical realm, the spiritual realm, those are ingredients. Those are like spiritual ingredients. I've got to have in my diet the hope, the praise, and the remembering. I've got to have them, because if I don't, I'm going to be downcast. If something heavy happens, like this crisis, it's going to show up in my life. I'm going to be downcast, right? And so I need those three things. I need the hope, right, that he said, hope in God. Not in man, but hope in God. And it's so important to remember, and I know you've heard this from me before, but it's so key that you remember this, that hope in God is not wishful thinking. It's confident expectation. That's what biblical hope is. And there's a big difference. It's a different word than just, hey, I hope my team wins. It's something very different. That's why when the Bible talks about the rapture, it's called the blessed hope. And so I don't think of the rapture as like, gosh, that'd be really cool. You know, I hope something like that happens. No, it's going to happen. It's called the blessed hope. I have a confident expectation in that. And so hope in God was the first ingredient. And then the psalmist said, praise him, right? And not just music. There's all kinds of great music. I love different kinds of music. I love Beatle music. But it doesn't do anything for my spirit. It doesn't lift up my spirit. It doesn't fan the flame in my heart for God. But praise does. Praise music does that. And so I give praise to God, but it affects me. It affects my demeanor. So that second ingredient, so important, praise him. So I hope in God. I praise him. And then lastly, the psalmist said, remember him. Remember him in the time of crisis. Remember him. Remember what he's done in your life in the past, right? Remember what he's done for others. It's written in the word. That's why it's there. So you can look at, oh, wow, you did that, Lord. You came through for them. And you see it over and over. And so we remember him. And it's something you do deliberately. It's not like, well, that just popped in my head. No, deliberately try to trigger those things by getting into the word. And I remember him. And so I've learned in this time that I need that. I can't just say, hey, it's one and done. I used to do that. I used to have those three ingredients in my life. No, I've got to do that daily. Otherwise, stuff like this is just going to take me down. I'm going to be downcast in my soul. I'm going to have that kind of despair, that kind of inner turmoil. So let me read the verse to you and close with this. Why, my soul, are you downcast? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Savior and my God. My soul is downcast within me, therefore I will remember you. Amen?
Amen. Thanks Pastor Jeff. Allen. Yep. I've got one more voice I want you to hear from, and here he comes, Jonathan Ferguson. So just as a quick recap, we had Chase, and he talked about God developing character in us, right? And sometimes he wants character over comfort. Bethany talked about flexibility in our schedules, that we've learned to be flexible and really just trusting that God has got a bigger picture involved here. Bill talked about keep walking, right? With the walking sticks, keep walking. And when God puts somebody in your path, stop and talk to them. People matter. Pastor Allen just talked about, hey, we got to continue to nourish our souls. And in the same way we nourish our bodies, we need to go to the word every day. We need to go to praise every day. So if there's a test coming up, like if I handed out a piece of paper right now and we're going to give you a test, we got to be able to say, I need to in order, the whole purpose of this morning is that I look back over 2020, I need to remember some of these principles that God is teaching us together corporately as the body of Christ. And Jonathan's going to give us one more.
All right. So let me pull this up a little bit. There we go. The object I actually brought, I was supposed to bring the actual object, but I have a picture of it because I forgot it and had to do a picture of a picture. And it's a picture of my mother. And I bring this one because this year my mother passed away in August from COVID. And you know, I haven't really, I said before, I know a lot of you guys have heard that my mom had passed away, but I really hadn't said much about it and everything, but it was from COVID. And it was a really difficult time for me. And the reason, this is a summary really of my year, has been dealing with COVID in its losses, its interesting changes of what we've done in our lives and work and church and school and everything. And you know, yeah, Bethany bringing up that how everything changes, right? Everything changed on the schedule. I think most of us would probably agree that that's what has happened for all of us. And in fact, it's interesting. My mom 20 years ago this week, she happened to visit a church called Refuge. Well, not Refuge at that point, Calvary Chapel, Huntington Beach. Mm-hmm. And she's like, you got to check this church out. And so I came the following week, and that was the first week I came to the church. That's 20 years ago this week, and have been plugged in since then. It was, he walked in the first door and I'm like, this is home, right? This has been my home for 20 years now. But the thing that God has taught me during this year is about the church itself, and not just Refuge, but the church as a whole. And it's okay for church to look different. It's okay for church to look different than it has for us in the past. The last year, churches looked very different from the previous 19 years of being a part of Refuge. And really, I mean, I've grown up in Calvary Chapel, in the Calvary Chapel movement my whole life. So I know what church is supposed to look like, right? But it can change. It can be different, and that's okay. When we were in Kenya, we lived in Kenya for 7.5 years. And while we were there, we were seeing churches in a lot of different ways. One of my friends had a church that was basically just corrugated aluminum for the sides and the roof. It's called Mabati. And I'll tell you, Mabati, there is something about it that the lack of soundproofing and the echo that you get when you get an entire group of people singing and praising the Lord, it's an amazing thing. Church worship never sounds better. Sorry, Michael. Sorry, Nicole. But there's something about that. And there was another pastor that we knew that was a pastor amongst a tribe up called the Maasai. And it's a pastoral tribe. They go where the cattle need the grass. And so church for them, they didn't have a building at all. It was whatever the biggest acacia tree was in the area where they happened to be that week. That was church. And so it was really cool to be able to see that and bring that lesson back. And I think that's something that God has been speaking to me today and this year, is that church looks different, and that's okay. We're not inside. That's okay. We're outside, and during the 7:30 services, our hands are too cold and too numb to even turn the pages in our Bible sometimes, and that's okay. We're bringing out, and we're getting here extra early to set up the chairs and bringing up the heaters, and that's okay. We've got the live stream card for those of you who are viewing online. Hello, everyone, and we thank you that you're still a part of this church and still joining with us. And it's something to me that I'm looking around. It's like, it doesn't matter whether church is online or church is in a Zoom meeting or church is outside in the parking lot or the courtyard or inside the sanctuary. The church is the body of Christ. And the church is called to be the body. You know, we talked about this so much while we've been outside, but the church is not a building. We are the church. We're the church. And so it's okay for it to be different. It's okay for it to look like this. And a couple of passages that really speak to me on this was, as it relates, especially with COVID, is in 1 Corinthians 12, it talks about how we're to consider our weaker brothers and sisters. And that's not just in the faith, but I think that physically as well, we need to consider and do what we can to help each other, no matter whether we're strong or weak. And what are we doing? That's why we're outside. We're outside to make sure that people are safe, that we've got enough fresh air blowing anything away from us instead of just breathing in everything. And we've got the online service, and there's more than half of our congregation still watching online. You guys are part of our church just as much as everyone's here. We miss seeing you, but we're glad that we're still fellowshipping together. And that's really true. No matter where we are, we're fellowshipping together because we are part of the greater body of Christ, not just Refuge, but the body of Christ. God's doing some great and amazing things. There's been some times where we've done our class that we do every month, this place called Refuge, which is a kind of like get to know you kind of thing. And people who are new to the church come and they can take the class and find out about it. We took it a couple months ago. We gave a tour and we're like, how many of you guys are new and have never even been in the sanctuary? And half the people who took the class had never even been in the sanctuary. They were new to the church while we were outside. And to me, I'm looking at that and saying, we are, God is doing some amazing things, some new things. I'm seeing and reading stats about how amazing the increasing the Bible reading is going on in America and around the world right now, because people are trying to figure out where they can find some kind of hope and peace. And they're finding it in the Lord and finding it in the body of Christ. One of the most important verses in my life, and it's a verse that definitely applies with this year, is in Isaiah 43, verses 18 and 19. Forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past.
See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland. And it goes on to talk about that the people that God has formed for himself, that we will proclaim his praise. There are people coming in and becoming believers because of what's happening. There are people who are coming in and coming and being part of the family of God for the first time because of the craziness of this year. So is church different? Absolutely. Is that good? Yes. Because God is doing something new and amazing in our lives and in our church and in the greater body of Christ. And I want to be part of that.
Thanks, Jonathan. Thank you. I'm going to invite Jonathan Trask, our family ministries director. He's going to come up and share. He's one of the voices of Refuge to our kids, but also to our pastoral staff that reaches out to all of our student ministries. And he's definitely been a delight to have on staff. Again, I think God purposed for certain guys and people to be on our staff for this season. And Jonathan is definitely one of those people. What did God teach you in 2020?
Quite a bit. This year has been pretty crazy. Do you guys remember, just think back in your mind, all the way back to March of last year, when we first heard, hey, we're going to go into lockdown, children's ministry directors everywhere went into this like crazy, we're all going to become YouTube stars. That's because that's what kids like. But then as you started to like watch all the videos of what children's ministry directors were actually putting on YouTube, like it was nowhere near as entertaining as what already exists out there. So, true. Number one, I am not a YouTube star. That's definitely one thing. And unlike, Pastor Chase, when he went and he grabbed all the garbanzo beans from the store, for me, it wasn't that. It was right after St. Patrick's Day. And my wife remembers this. I got like 6 corned beef and hash things because they were on sale. And those sat in my refrigerator or freezer for like 6 months. Because I was like, oh, we got to have meat, you know, because it's all going crazy.
Got to have corned beef.
Yeah, got to have corned beef. Not realizing I hate corned beef. Why did I get corned beef? With all the things that happened this last year, it's funny. I woke up in the middle of the night last night, and thoughts were just kind of racing through my mind of just concepts and ideas. So a little bit of a cop out with an object, but it's an object that we all have. My object is my phone for this year, and I'll explain that. My phone will forever remind me of 2020 because unlike any other year, before, I think we have all become desperately reliant upon technology this year, and mainly reliant upon technology for information. So just doing some reflecting and just really thinking like, man, you guys, we're in the year 2021. Do you realize that these things first came out in what, 2007? Was when these are like 14 years. We're in a time of human history that has never existed before. Every single one of us probably have one of these and are desperately reliant upon it for all aspects and areas of our life. It's kind of cool, but it's also kind of scary at the same time. And this is why it's scary, because Jesus says in the last days, you know, knowledge is going to increase and it's going to abound and men will know more and know more and go to and fro and we will wax worse and worse over time. And technology is like a double-edged blade. It on one side, it's really helpful. It helps us be able to communicate with the body and the people out there that need the word of God that can't be here. And that's wonderful. There's another side to it that's really dangerous, and that it is a source of almost limitless information, and that's my thought is information, is that each and every single one of us is very subject to the messaging that we hear, to the information that's like poured into our minds daily, whether that be through the news or through a social media. Which realizing there's nothing truly social about social media, we are all subject to the information that we hear. So this, the information, the knowledge that comes from this, is just information about what's going on in the world. Scripture is very clear. You know, there's nothing new under the sun. The Word of God has transcended so many different cultures, so many different eras, wars, famines, plagues, all throughout human history. God's Word remains, right? And as believers, I think the thing that stands out for me and my concern with the knowledge that comes from the phone and the knowledge that comes from the Word of God is that I think sometimes we have become so accustomed to this being our primary source of information of what we need that, like, this year has made me want to break my phone in many ways. And I'm a technology guy. I love technology. But realizing the knowledge that comes from Scripture is where we need to be really filling our minds with and our heads. I want to read to you here Colossians chapter 1, verse 9. I just love this. It says this, "And so from the day we heard, we have not ceased to pray for you, asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding." Mm-hmm. The phone's going to give us natural knowledge of the happenings of the world, the government systems, everything that's happened. True spiritual knowledge, the foundations of our faith, the thing that guides us, that's our anchor in the storm, comes from the Word of God. It doesn't come from a news channel or a news organization or somebody's YouTube rant on something, right? And the prayer is that we are filled with spiritual knowledge and understanding, and that we walk worthy in a manner of the Lord, fully pleased in Him, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, which only comes from the Word of God. So the thought of, like, the knowledge of the phone and how we are so attached to this, and we really need to be careful about how much we allow that to pour into our mind and subsequently into our heart with the messaging that's out there. And this year, because of that, there's been a great amount of division. And our pastors, we've talked with many different people of the church and many people of our community. And without a doubt, 2020 has been a year of division amongst people. In their opinions and their persuasions and the way that we think we should do things or should not do things. So much division has been caused that comes from the knowledge of what we think is happening or what we think is going on, which comes from this, the knowledge of the world. But the knowledge of God is this. This is Ephesians chapter 4 says this. "Therefore, as a prisoner of the Lord, I urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling which you have been called." Do you see the connection there that Paul also wrote about to the Colossians? Walking in a manner worthy, with all humility, with gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. I'm committed, I think, in 2020 going forward, is to really make sure that the information that fills my mind and my heart is going to continually be grounded on the Word of God. And the conversations I have will be pointing back. Is that what the Word of God teaches us? Is that what the Word of God says? Is that who we are called to be as a people? And as my role as a father and a spiritual leader of my children and my wife, making sure that our family is grounded on this, because the world is going to change. And nothing is going to change the fact that the world is going to change. But the knowledge, the truth, the glory of God that is made known to us in the face of Jesus Christ will never change no matter what. Let's make sure that we just are anchored on that. So, object is my phone, contrast to the Bible. Let's break these things.
Thanks, John. One more voice, our high school youth pastor, Dave Taylor. And I'm just telling you, I'll say it again, I'm so blessed to get to work with these guys on a regular basis. And you would probably enjoy to sit in our offices and hear the refining that goes on between us as we kind of wage some discussion over certain topics and discussions over certain things. And we are just, it's just great to have these guys on staff and to work with them. And again, I think it was no accident on God's plan to have David with us through 2020 and be one of the voices into our high school youth. And has done such a great job with that. My daughter's in high school and she loves it. And so I would just say that I think it's God design.
That was the first time that you called me David, by the way, I think.
I would call you Dave.
Yeah, you do call me.
Yeah.
Hey, guys. How you guys doing? You guys doing good? Awesome. I just have to say, even as I was listening to Jonathan and your wife and Bill and Chase,
I was hit with, 9 o'clock service. We're with the youth over at the park right over there. And today we talked about in Joshua chapter 3 and in chapter 4, God works a miracle for Israel. They crossed the Jordan River, something that could not have been done at that time. The water was crazy. The river was overflowing. And God performs a miracle. And God then in chapter 4 tells Joshua to do something. And it's so vital and it's so important. And I kind of feel like it's what we're doing right now. He tells Joshua to tell, the 12 tribes, or take each person, and to put up these stones that we call stones of remembrance, or these memorials, and to place them where they were lodging for the night. So when people ask, when they come across this area and they ask, what are these stones about? What's the reason for this? So they would be able to tell them of the works of God, the miracles from generation to generation. And I just thought that was so cool. And Jeff, I think what we're doing today is so that. It's kind of like if we were to look back at 2020, which is what we're doing right now, I would guess that each of you, symbolically in a sense, have that stone of remembrance that you can look back and go, you know what? 2020 was a year, right? 2020 was chaotic. And I don't care how solid you are in your faith. Some of us were anxious, right? Mm-hmm. You're anxious. Some of us were fearful at times, but even in the hard times, there were those redeemable moments, or man, there was so much redemption in that year. And so just on the tail end of teaching that, I totally feel like that's what we're doing. That's a total side note. So
that was perfect.
Well, thank you.
This is what these are. Stones of remembrance.
Yeah. Jeff asked us to bring a item. And so my item that for me will always have me thinking about 2020 is this jar. It's got some sand in there and some shells. And like all of you, I was going to say like many of you, but like all of you, when all of this stuff hit, when the pandemic hit, when the stay-at-home order happened, and we're like, what is consistency? Right? Chase talked about that. What is normality? All of that was thrown out the window. Routine, what the heck is that, right? And so we're trying to figure out what is going on. And we got to work from home, which was a blessing. I got to work in our small apartment with and I got to see my wife every single day, who was pregnant with my second son at that time, and got to see her parents through the morning sickness, and she's just a rock star. And it was so awesome. And one of the things that we wanted to do, because there was so much inconsistency in our life at that time, was to have at least one routine, something. And so every single day after work, we would drive down to Newport and we'd park, and Lucia, my wife, myself, and my son Judah, we would go walk on the beach, and we would pick up seashells. And I've never been the shell guy, right? I'm not the it's not my thing. But for whatever reason, it absolutely became, it wasn't my thing, it was our thing. And I cherish those times more than anything. We went so often, in fact, that Judah, I would always carry him. Judah would then look down, he would even point to shells. He was a little over a year old, and we'd give him the shell that he pointed to, and we'd have to constantly take it out of his mouth, because he thought it was food, and this is what they do. But yeah, so this right here, I can look at this, and it's almost like it's peace jarred. I don't really know how else to describe it. This holds so many memories, and it symbolizes so much. I love this. The theme that I feel the Lord has hit me with over and over and over and over again is the fact that God is constant, and I am not. God is unchanging. I think we all kind of talked about that. God is faithful all the time, even when we're not. I'm reminded, just being real, being open, I'm reminded of this morning. So my son, Aaron, he's a couple months old, and last night he decided to declare war on the house and cry the entire night. And so I woke up this morning not feeling like a million bucks. You know what I mean? I'm tired. I'm like, I need to be hooked up to the cold brew. I need an IV. Like, I need to wake up, you know? And even in little things like that, I'm reminded God doesn't have those kinds of days. You know, he is so constant. In fact, I have a scripture here. Psalm 102, verse 25 and 27. It says, "Of old you founded the earth, and the heavens are the work of your hands. Even they will perish, but you endure. And all of them will wear out like a garment. Like clothing you will change them, and they will be changed. But you are the same, and your years will not come to an end." I mean, my family, I think it was Chase, or it might have been you. You talked about how nobody came out of this year unscathed. You know, family, mm-hmm. Families went through things. You know, there were losses. There was a lot that happened, and again, just reminded me of my I'm finite. You know, there's an end to my days at one point, but not God. God is so constant. You know, this I would say even this holiday season, Christmas, New Year's, my family got hit really hard with different sicknesses and stuff. And again, it's the continual reminder over and over again of like, my God, none of us are promised anything, right? None of us are. And but again, the consistency and just how God is so insanely constant brings me mm-hmm. hope that does not change. And that I just want to read this other passage. It's 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 through 5. "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. This inheritance is kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time." Jeff said, I'm high school pastor, and I have these conversations with the high schoolers all the time, you know, not just on Sundays, but through texting or whatever. Man, the hope that Jesus brings is unlike anything else. And I feel like it takes sometimes years like this past one to realize like all the other things that we've put weight into, they just don't hold. They're not constant, right? They don't hold up. They can't hold the weight. And it just blows me away that God throughout this whole year, again, he knew exactly what every single one of us was going through. I love, Bill, how you talked about the individual. I think sometimes we go, the world went through it. Yeah, but the world's filled with individuals that went through things that were extremely tough. And I'm just reminded again that God, not only is God constant, but he is constant in his faithfulness and his mercy. Bill Ferris, he used this term maybe a month ago, and I've been using it since then. He talked about how God has pockets of grace every single day for us, prepared in advance, and it's ours to take, it's ours to walk in. And so I would just say I've been greatly encouraged by the fact that I am not constant, that my Lord is, and that's where my hope is. So,
thanks, Dave. Yeah, thanks. I will just say one last time, and then we're going to close with Romans chapter 14. So if you have your Bibles, turn to Romans chapter 14. It's going to be quick. We're not going to do a full-on study. The full-on study comes next week in 1 John chapter 4. But today we're just going to close off with Romans chapter 14. And I'll just say it again, so blessed, so thankful to be on staff with these guys. I'll just tell you, incredible. These are incredible guys. And we have great ladies in our staff as well, but just so thankful for 2020 and seeing some of the maturity and the growth. And I just think about, as Dave is up here speaking, I'm just thinking like, God, what are you going to do with these guys in the future? Like, what does their future look like as they continue to give themselves over to you as husbands and fathers, and they give yourselves over to you as men of God, and the word of God is just permeating through them all the time. And I just get excited about, you know,
selfishly for Refuge, but whatever God should call them to, wherever he calls them to, just so proud of them and thankful that they're with us here at Refuge. Romans chapter 14. If you got your Bibles, you can open to Romans chapter 14. And I believe Paul, speaking to this church that's getting divided over certain things, I just think of the things that had the potential, at least this year, to divide us over politics, over masks, over inside or outside, or not even meeting at all. These are things that could easily have divided the church, and maybe even did. And actually, I'm under the impression that there are people watching online, and maybe you're here today, who've been offended by something maybe we've done or we've said as a church. And I believe that. That's going to be the case. In 2021, I really see the importance of a healing that goes on in the body of Christ. Because I believe that we've said things, and maybe you've said things, that just came out of the flesh. And the enemy used that to draw people away from the church, or maybe even just cause yourself to think, I don't know if I really like that guy or not, right? And I believe that Paul is speaking to that in Romans chapter 14, and he's saying, listen, I think there needs to be a healing that goes on. And we're not through the woods yet, and there's things that need to be dealt with. And so in Romans chapter 14, he says, listen to what he says in verse 1. Receive one who is weak in the faith, but do not dispute over doubtful things, right? Some of your translations say opinions. So the question then is, what are doubtful things? Well, here's what they're not. Doubtful things are not things that are just not important. Paul would have said, doubtful things are important. Your opinions, they do matter. You can be super passionate about your opinions and what you believe to be true. That's absolutely true, right? Doubtful things, though, however, are not doctrine. Doctrine is worth fighting over. Doctrine is worth dividing over at times. The resurrection of Jesus Christ is ultimately the most important thing. His deity is so important. Those are doctrinal things. And we should be able to say, listen, if that's not where you're at, like, we can disagree over that sort of thing, right? We can even dispute over those sorts of things. Paul's saying, don't dispute over things that aren't doctrine. Don't divide over things that are doubtful things or opinions. Look at what he says as he goes on. Here's one of those things. Case study number one. For one believes he may eat all things, but he who is weak eats only vegetables. What's he talking about there? He's saying some of you will eat meat that was offered to idols back in the first century. That some of you feel like, well, I'm free in Christ. I don't really believe there's anything behind idols. I'll eat whatever meat comes across. It's cheaper, right? I can get it cheaper. Well, my family will eat any meat. And some people are saying, listen, you can't eat meat offered to idols. That's detestable meat. It's detestable in the sight of God. My family, we're going to stay away from that meat, and we're only going to eat vegetables, right? And there was this passionate divide amongst those two people. Some people saying, listen, I'll eat whatever because God made it and I can eat it, right? And other people are saying, listen, that's detestable stuff. Do you know what God thinks of you? Gross, right? Whatever, right? So there's this passionate divide. Doubtful things. Opinions. Two church people coming together with different views. And he's saying, listen, don't divide over these things. Don't dispute over these things. Not that they're not important. But he says, don't divide. Look at verse 3. Let not him who eats the meat despise him who does not eat. Let not him who does not eat judge him who eats, for God has received him. You mean these two church people holding passionately different views on something, God has received him? Absolutely. Absolutely. Look at verse 4. Who are you to judge another's servant? We are, in fact, what he's making the accusation here is that we're all God's servants. You're not my servant. I'm not your servant, right? We are God's servant. Who are you to judge another's servant? To his own master, he stands or falls. Indeed, he will be made to stand, for God is able to make him stand. Then he goes on to case study number two. We have food, right? And now he says, listen, case study number two, there's holy days. Look what he says. One person, verse 5, esteems one day above another, and another esteems every day alike. Oh, no, 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 no. This day is set apart and special to God. This is the main day. And he had another church member who said, listen, every day is holy. Every day should be set apart for God. Oh, no, no. One day is set up. There's a passionate understanding, right? Both of them have different views, both of them passionate. And Paul's saying these are called doubtful things. Not that they're not important, but he's saying, listen, do not dispute over doubtful things or things that are opinions. He says, in fact, look at verse 5 again. Let each be fully convinced in his own mind. He who observes the day observes it to the Lord. And he who does not observe the day, and in fact observes every day as holy and set apart to the Lord, he does not observe it. He who eats, eats to the Lord, for he gives thanks. And he who does not eat, to the Lord he does not eat and gives thanks. Listen, the point of the matter, what he's saying here, is if you're going to move forward in that direction, and it's not against Scripture, move forward as unto the Lord. If you're gonna have an opinion or one of these things he was called doubtful things, then make sure that you're doing it as unto the Lord, that you're honoring him. Again, let's be clear on this. If it's against Scripture, we can say that's not of the Lord. But if it's an opinion, if it's one of those doubtful things, if it's a passionate thing that you have, make sure that you're doing it as unto the Lord. Look at verse 7. For none of us lives to himself. And no one dies to himself. For if we live to the Lord. And if we die, we die to the Lord. Therefore, whether we live or we die, we are the Lord's. For to this end, Christ died and rose and lived again, that he might be the Lord of both the dead and the living. Paul's passion, he said that passion is okay, it's good. Make sure as you carry these passions that you're doing it as unto the Lord. Look at verse 14. Look at 10. But why do you judge your brother, or why do you show contempt towards your brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. If you feel like, man, I need to really hammer this person because they have a different view than me, consider at least to think that they're not my servant. They're God's servant. And one day they will stand before the Lord and give an account. I don't have to judge them. I don't have to be the judge over my brother and sister in the Lord. Because God will be their judge, right? What's my purpose and plan? What do I need to do? I need to make sure I'm doing what God has called me to do and honoring him with what he's called me to do. I don't have to go after someone else and judge them. I can say, listen, God, you speak to my heart, right? I don't want to divide over a passionate opinion. I don't want to divide over doubtful things. And they were passionate about the food and the holy days. Look at verse 14. I know and am convinced by the Lord Jesus Christ that there is nothing unclean in itself, but to him who considers anything to be unclean, to him it's unclean. In other words, if you think that the food offered to idols is unclean, then you should not eat it, and you should not eat it as unto the Lord. If you think that one day is set apart as holy, then you need to honor that one day and say, this day is set apart as holy as unto the Lord. If you have a passionate opinion, he's saying, listen, and if it's of the Lord, then you need to honor that. 15, yet if your brother is grieved because of your food, you are no longer walking in love. Do not destroy with your food the one whom Christ died. If your passionate opinion causes someone else to stumble or fall, then he says, listen, be willing to change, at least not the opinion, but your action and your attitude towards that. In other words, he's saying, listen, I won't eat meat. I won't eat meat. If it causes a brother or sister to stumble, I won't do that anymore in front of them. I won't eat meat. It's not worth it to me to divide over on these disputable things. Because ultimately, I'm doing what I'm doing as unto the Lord, and the Lord would not have me cause someone else to fall or to stumble or walk away from him because I have this strong opinion on this. Again, short of doctrine, resurrection of the deity of Christ. These are the sorts of things we will dispute over. But other things, things that cause my brother and sister to fall, I'm going to let those things go. I'm going to say, listen, we have a different opinion, and I'm going to move forward, and I love you.
And we've practiced that on staff a lot this year. This has been one of the common themes. And I think you us as the church, this is where we need to be. We need to say, listen, this is a passionate opinion I have, but someone else may not have that passionate opinion. And that's okay because we are one in Christ. He goes on, verse 16. Therefore, do not let your good be spoken of as evil, for the kingdom of God is not eating or drinking, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. For he who serves Christ in these things is acceptable to God and approved by men. Listen to what he says. This is what we are about. Righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. I believe 2021, there will be some healing that needs to take place, as I've already said. And maybe you're watching online and maybe there's things that we've said or things that have happened inside the church that you felt like, man, I would not agree with that, or I don't agree with that opinion, or we should be inside, or we should be outside, or we shouldn't be meeting at all, or they should be wearing. There's so many circulating things, and I would just call those things doubtful things. Those are opinions. Now, listen, I'm not saying they're not important. Your opinion is important, and you formulated that over things that you've thought and processed through. So they are important, but they're not worth dividing over. They're not worth holding a grudge over someone else and saying, well, I'm going to cast judgment upon you, because that goes strictly against what he's saying here. He says, you are the body of Christ. You are to be about, listen what he says, righteousness, set apartness, being holy to the Lord. And you are to be about peace, coming together in peace towards each other. And listen, joy in the Holy Spirit. Do you have joy? Do we have joy as we gather together? He's saying, listen, these are important things. Do not divide or dispute over doubtful things. And here's where I close and here's where he closes. Verse 19. Therefore, catch this. Therefore, let us pursue the things which make for peace. In other words, don't hold the doubtful things and the opinions over pursuing the things that make for peace. And the things which one may edify another. And don't stop building each other up. Pursue the things that make for peace and build up your brother or sister in the Lord and build up the body of Christ. 2021, we need to commit to that. We need to go back to saying, pursue the things that make for peace. Pursue the things that build the body of Christ. And verse 20, do not destroy the work of God for the sake of food. Do not destroy the work of God for opinions. Do not destroy the work of God for doubtful things. God is going to continue to work amongst us, and we are not always going to agree or have the same opinions of what things should happen. But here's the thing we need to be unified on. And I think we learned this and are learning it in 2020 on into 2021. We need to shoot for peace. We need to strive for peace. We need to go towards peace. In those moments when our flesh want to take over, the enemy loves that. Oh, I'm going to get some. Oh, you don't agree with me. Oh, but I have 10 reasons why you should. Okay, listen, I need to be about my Father's business. I need to go for peace and unity and building up the body of Christ. Amen? Let's pray. God, you're good and you're gracious. And I believe you gave us a smattering of things that we learned or are learning in 2020 that we'll take on with us into 2021. I pray just as these many voices of refuge who you've blessed us with this morning, Lord, as they spoke, there would be something that would just resonate within us to say, that is a lesson I learned. Lord, you've taught me. And Lord, I want to carry that on into 2021. I don't want to just run through 2020 and miss all the things that you taught me. And I pray this morning would have been a reminder of some of those things. And maybe some areas, I know for me, Lord, some areas that we still need to grow in, that we still need to grow in. Would you strengthen us for that work that you have for us? Lord, I believe there are big things happening in 2021, great things for the church, as our voices, many of them said. But Lord, I believe that you also want to teach us and grow us and strengthen us for that work. And so, Lord, would you do that this morning? Amen.
This has been a presentation of Refuge Calvary Chapel, Huntington Beach. For more information about our ministry, please visit refugefamily.com or call 714 714- 891-9495. Set free.